Blog Talk Radio.
Mouth, my choice.
All right. You got to talk, Rivers. Tell me why you think Coke is better. Like this. I'm broadcasting now, so let's see if I can start getting some audio feedback, because that's what I'm hoping for right now, is I get some feedback. All right, here's the deal. I want you to talk about Tennessee's free tax weekend.
All right.
Now, wait, I want you to get serious. I don't want the light stuff. I want the deep knowledge.
It's going to be deep stuff. Okay, so Tennessee is doing the – I'm putting this in the bag. Tennessee is – doing the
That's your mother. She's got it.
Sales tax free weekend.
And what is that?
It is a weekend, the last weekend of every July, in the state of Tennessee. You can say you don't have to pay that 9.25 sales tax on clothing under $100 per item, or on computers that are $1,500 or less, or school supplies that are $75 or less, that per item you don't have to pay sales tax on.
This is every week in July?
This is the final weekend of July.
What did they do this for?
It's for the back-to-school thing is what this is about. It's the back-to-school. They want people to be able to afford to get back to school supplies, and they figure that the sales tax holiday is a good way to help with that in the state of Tennessee.
All right. Idea.
I think that's a great idea.
Our governor up here has, and some legislatures have tried to look into doing something similar to that on Labor Day weekend, but the last time they even tried to have a vote on it was like 3 years ago, and then it didn't go anywhere.
And fail.
And I was in Tennessee on one of the sales tax weekends just 2 years ago, and let me tell you, that mall, Chattanooga Mall, was popping. Number one place.
And there's no taxes.
No.
Sales tax.
Well, if you buy food at the Chick-fil-A or any food place, obviously you still pay tax. Or if you buy clothing that's over $100 an item, then that gets taxed.
Somebody really thought that thing through, didn't they?
Yep. Because you got them. Yeah, because most school clothing items, as long as it's not a super fancy pair of jeans, get $100 per item or more. And if it's so, that means if it was 110 and you drop it to 90, no cap.
For all of you that are listening, and you hear the wonderful sounds of McDonald's in the background, like the fry machine beeping, that's just part of it.
Also known as sound from heaven.
Yeah.
Making that sound from heaven.
That's right.
Yeah, because in heaven there'll be streets of gold, also which also contains golden deep fryers.
Golden deep fryers, them golden potatoes.
They're actually healthy for us. The French fries are. And carbonation in heaven. Oh yeah, you don't gain no weight. Nothing like that happens. In fact, it also makes you stronger. Heaven, I hope.
I love it. Well, you know, now I've told people for a while, Rivers, but I'm probably going to have to adjust my statement here. I've told them that coffee beans is what grows on the tree of life in heaven.
And cafe
mocha is what flows in the river of life.
I think there also needs to be a section of the River of Life that includes Coca-Cola and vanilla coke.
I don't think for a minute that anybody that's listening to our show believes us that we are speaking chapter and verse. However, everybody just hang on, because there's got to be a Dr. Hilton Sutton had to cover this somewhere. I just haven't found it yet.
No, I haven't found it yet personally, but I have found a verse that says, "In my Father's house are many mansions," and it goes on to say, "I am going to prepare a place for you. And when I go, and after I have prepared the place for you, I will come to take you there." This also means that, like, that's what God's doing right now. Part of what Jesus is doing right now is he's preparing that home.
Yes, sir. That's a good sound.
This means it's actually working?
Well, this means, well, we're on the air right now on my phone. I'm just trying to get my computer to work so that mic will work.
So?
Start the show now. Press 1. Are you ready?
Yep.
Your call is back into a live show. We are reconnecting you now.
Talk now.
Hello. My name is River Shukla. Sorry about the technical difficulties. We have got that worked out. So, we were talking about heaven, Jesus said that in my Father's house are many mansions, and about how he is there and he's preparing a place for us.
Yes, sir.
And that when he prepares that place for us, when it's ready, as well as the last day's stuff has occurred, that he will come and will be taken up, and will be caught up together with Jesus in the clouds, those of us who believe in him. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, though, this would be such a great opportunity right now for you to accept him.
Come on, do it, man.
Because if you don't accept him, you're not going to be caught up in the clouds with those that, and be up there and partying and having, you know, the fun stuff we just talked about a minute ago. You won't be having that. So, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, we can fix that.
Do it.
We can fix it by a prayer. Jesus, come into me now.
Come into me now.
Fill me with your love and joy. Jesus, cleanse me of all my sins. I come to you now afresh and new.
Now show me
what you would have me do for you. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord.
I will dwell in the house of the Lord.
Forever.
Forever.
Amen.
Amen and amen and amen and amen. Amen.
Because every time, and this brings me to another topic, when you give your life to Jesus, it's really important that you commit to do something that is very important for your walk with God, and that is to find a good fire baptized, spirit filled, born again church that has a born again, spirit filled, tongue talking pastor that doesn't water down the word of God, that that tells it like it is and isn't the 30-minute in and out. Because you know how they talk about 1 hour in and out. I bet you there's some 30 minutes somewhere. Yeah, I heard one pastor, Dr. Barclay, told a story once about how there's a certain church, what was at the time, 15 years ago, how there was a church where they would sing for 45 minutes, take an offering for 5 minutes, something else for 5 minutes, and then pastor would talk for 5 minutes, and then they're done.
How do you grow in God that way?
You don't grow in God that way. Worship and praise is so great. But it's but all that stuff is for God. The word of God is the one thing out of the service that you can take home with you. Because your freedom and your deliverance that you receive when you go to church and an altar call is held. Now that's awesome. But all that stuff stays at the altar. It stays at the altar, bound. Like, if you're believing to get delivered from drugs, delivered from sexual sins, delivered from your alcohol,
anything.
Smoking, vulgarity, whatever that stuff is,
you get delivered, that stuff stays at the altar.
Now the word of God, that stuff just gets in your spirit and in your mind and in your head peripherally. Now, pastor was talking about the words of your mouth tonight. And it was good. Let me tell you, the words of your mouth, it is more powerful than your pen. That Facebook or that Twitter. The words of your mouth. Now in today's day and age, it can seem just as powerful almost, but in reality, the most powerful is the words of your mouth. The words of your mouth. So if you're calling yourself sick and you're calling yourself, I got cancer, and I'm going to die next month. Hey, if you don't change your confession to a Bible-based confession that says, I got cancer and I'm going to die next month, if you don't change that confession to something like cancer, you are bound in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Or high blood pressure, or diabetes, or whatever, or loneliness, or whatever you're dealing with. If you don't change that confession to enemy, you are bound in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That enemy is going to grab a hold of you, and if it's life-threatening, it's going to take your life.
Yeah.
And possibly sooner than what you imagined it would. So you could say, oh, I got a month, and then be dead tomorrow. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you didn't give your life to God, your heart to God, to Jesus, then someone could be held, going to be held responsible for that, for them. And
now let me cut in for just a second here, Rivers. I got to do something here.
Okay.
I want you to just stay right there. Let me add this. If you know somebody that needs to hear a miracle story and likes to hear about miracles, call them and tell them to call this number, 215-383-3810. 215-383-3810. That's the number you can call into this show and actually talk to Rivers or to me. Or if you need to get saved, you can dial that number while we're live, and we can lead you to Jesus right here on this show. How cool is that?
Okay, that is amazing.
Now, that's our first spot, and this this show is called The Preacher and the Miracle Man. Now, we're going to talk about a lot of different things. Tonight, we're going to talk about an angel in Chattanooga. Remember that? I said I was going to tell that story.
Yes, you did.
And then we're going to talk about believing. And we've already talked about the free tax weekend. And we've yet to talk about the eclipse.
Oh, yes, that great solar eclipse.
But first, we got to go back to the words of your mouth, because that was a powerful thing you was preaching.
Yeah.
So go ahead, give us a little bit more of that.
So he said that he accused some people of that name it and claim it. He was talking about some people who think that name it and claim it is bad. Name it and claim it is exactly what we do as Christians. When we're saying stuff like, I call big amounts of money into my life. You calling that so? Then you do your job, what have you. You go out, you put out forth the effort, you get a pay raise. You get, you putting your works to your faith.
Can I ask you a question about this? What's your confession about being on the radio?
My confession is that my audience will grow and grow and grow, and that I'll reach a lot of people.
How long have you made that confession?
I've made it for a while, because I've always wanted to be a sports broadcaster, but I've also said that through it, somehow, I've wanted to win souls. That's what I've always said.
Well, you came right out tonight swinging for the fence about getting people saved, so I think you got that one down.
Because it's very important. Time is too short to play games.
That's the truth, isn't
it? It's too short. If we knew we had, you know, time left, I mean, we'd still be serious, but not, you know, but honestly, you know, back to what I said before, though, you know, Christian scientists will call those things that are as though they are not. Christian people, born-again, spirit-filled, water-baptized people, call those things that are not as though they are. So, you feeling sick? I call my body healed in Jesus' name. You got fired from your job. I have a new job in the name of Jesus that pays better than the one I just lost. This words of your mouth thing, my pastor just said he could preach on that for 3 months. And
so could you.
I'm sure some people could. I hope somebody has had where they have a podcast and all that's ever on it is they talk about the words of your mouth.
Wow. Because
as Christians, the Bible tells us that the tongue is enmity against God. Your tongue is enmity against God. It's not your ear, it's not your eye, and it's not your face. It's your tongue. And it also says that no one can bind it. No one can just cause it to be quiet, you know? That it's the one part of the body that can't be stopped. Because, unfortunately, your tongue can just mutter stuff.
Well, and you think about the book of James. James said, you can start a forest fire with your tongue.
Yep. You can start a forest fire with your tongue.
But you can also bless with your tongue.
Absolutely.
Because when you bless with your tongue, you're using the same instrument that you're cursing with. It's the same instrument. It's your same power. But the results are so much different. I think it's so amazing that you're starting this out with this. Because if anybody has used their tongue to get something, it's you.
It's me.
What did you say the whole time you were going to college?
I said that by faith, I am a radio broadcaster. I also said, more importantly, said I am blessed. And I didn't just say that because Doc Barclay says every service almost to say when you're sitting down, I am blessed. Yeah, it's much beyond that. I did that because I believed it. By faith, that I would be blessed. That me putting all that effort into it would bless me and would give me results.
Wow.
Because I'm going to put stuff into it. I don't want to get nothing out of it.
Right. Let's go to what's going to be our theme verse for our program here.
Alrighty.
That's John 20, chapter 20, verse 29. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.
Amen. We've got to believe. You've got to believe in God. You can't be this. Like doubting Thomas, Thomas who doubted God, and he only missed one church service, but he doubted God.
It cost him.
Cost him dearly.
Eternity as the doubting Thomas.
Doubting Thomas. Kind of like Lion's head, but
no.
Doubting Thomas. Yep, I don't want those of you listening to become that. I want you to actually be able to believe in God. Everybody needs to learn how to believe in Him.
Yeah. You think about what Thomas said. Thomas said, remember, we're talking about a confession here, right?
Yeah.
Thomas said, unless I see the nail prints in your hands or the wound in your side, I won't believe. Well, Jesus said to him, well, look, here it is, right? Even in his doubt, Jesus still showed up and said, here's the proof. But then he said to them, but blessed are you who have not seen the results yet. And you start speaking in faith that I'm going to see it. And look at you sitting here tonight.
I haven't seen.
You're on the radio.
And I have not seen yet my vision in my eyes. Yet I believe it's coming.
And look at you sitting here on the radio, whether you got physical vision or not.
Yep, yeah, exactly. You got to be able to see those blessings or see, even if you can't see those blessings or you can't see that miracle yet that you believe in for, if you believe that miracle is going to come, then guess what? As long as you keep believing God and believing God and believing God and praying and asking, it's going to come. Because our Bible says, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open unto you. That applies to miracles, healing miracles, financial miracles, aircraft miracles.
Come on, that's everything.
That
was awesome this morning, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. That was so awesome.
Jeez.
Yeah, how about how at my church, Doc Barclay, who on this program you're going to hear a lot of references to him. He's a wonderful, spirit-filled pastor out of Midland, Michigan. And he flies airplane. Okay, he's not the pilot, but he travels around the country via this airplane, and he uses it to preach, and he'll go to churches, you know, and stuff. And his airplane, he has not been on the road for about a month because his airplane went into inspection, and then they found some issues with it, and that needed to be replaced. And let me tell you, airplane ministry is not cheap. That airplane that my pastor flies is not a toy. I heard that little when I mentioned the airplane. I heard that. Oh, was that the former pastor in you that did that? Is that what you said? I know, I could just hear pastor. Can I just stay home? You know? But he hasn't. He still goes out and preaches, but let me tell you, he's still waiting for that rest of that money to come in, but just today, a lot of that money's come in. Now he's still got a ways to go, but by faith, rest of that money is coming in for his aircraft so that he can go back to do what God's called him to do, because...
Well, just go ahead and pray for it right now.
In the name of Jesus, I command that airplane money, that budget on that airplane is paid right off in the name of Jesus now.
Amen.
So that pastor can get back out to what he's been called to. And that is going back out to these churches and pastoring those pastors in the name of God. Amen.
Amen.
Because that local church is the smallest. Our local church is the smallest thing he has. That he is also a pastor to those pastors. And when he can't go to all those places, to all these states, sometimes it's three cities in one day. You can't do that on commercial. You can't do that on a dry ride bus. Yeah, I'd like a 130 going from a certain place going to Tennessee. And then I'll have a 5 o'clock going from there to Valdosta, Georgia, and then an 8:30 back to Myrtle Beach.
All right.
It doesn't work that way.
All right, so we gotta take another commercial break here.
Call 800 yes word now. No, you were seeing one of those commercials from like 20 years ago, remember?
So, let me give this phone number again real quick. All right? Here we go. If you're listening tonight and you want to call in and talk to Rivers, or you want us to pray for you, or you just want to listen to this on your phone, you can just, it's a smart thing to listen to this program on a smartphone. All right, what was you looking for?
Nope, back to your message.
All right, hold on. So the number is 215-383-3810. 215-383-3810. And that'll bring you right in here to the queue. You don't have to say anything, but you can put this on your cell phone and just drive down the road and be a part of the Preacher Man and the Miracle Man show every time we're on here. We're setting up a schedule. We don't have a specific schedule as of yet. Probably start with about 3 times a week and work this thing out a little bit until we fine-tune our show and make things really happen with some audio, some music, and some spots and some other stuff. But this is our beginning. So here we are. We started right out with a prayer for salvation and talking about confession, two of the most powerful things you're ever going to have in your Christian life. If you don't know anything about it, then call tomorrow, 832-7547. Tell them you need to get some good teaching on being saved and having how to make a good confession. And that person on the phone at the church will lead you and get you some good information, because that's how we do things around here, isn't it?
Exactly.
Exactly. Now, tonight, I told you last time I was going to tell you my angel story. Remember that?
Exactly.
Are you ready to hear that?
Yes, Sam, we are.
Okay. Now, you have any Coke left?
Yes, I do.
Just so you know, I've already drank two Dr. Peppers to your one Coke.
That means you're more spiritual than I am, I guess. Okay, not more spiritual, but maybe more thirsty.
More thirsty. Well, and God, I will have to get up and leave before you do. All right, so I'm going to move the mic over here a little closer to me for a minute.
Alrighty.
All right. Because I want to be able to make sure I got a good sound here. And we'll fine-tune this sound thing out as we go, okay?
Yep.
Don't worry about all this. For those of you that don't know what Blog Talk Radio or a blog radio show is all about, it's just people that God said, go do something, and we said, we're not going to let a big pile of money stop us from getting our mission accomplished, right? And here we are, sitting here right now doing this, and it doesn't cost that much money to make it happen. And this is accessible anywhere in the world. I had a listener in Japan. I had a listener in Germany, Pakistan. It just all over because people hook up and say, that's the voice I need to hear. Now, here's the angel story. I was driving truck. Semi. Truck driver. And my run started in Rochester, Michigan on Sunday night. This would have been 1995. 92. Yeah, we were just started going to Living Word. And I had worked for Joe Grant over there in Auburn. And then I got a job driving truck.
Yep.
I had to leave Rochester, Michigan at 9:15 p.m. Sunday. And I had to be in Fort Wayne truck and bus at 8:35 exactly Monday morning. And when I unloaded there, I drove to Gary, Indiana, over by Chicago, picked up a load of Taurus carpet mats for the trunk. And in 14 hours, I had to be in Atlanta. Exactly.
Yep.
So I'm awake from Sunday night till Tuesday at noon. All right. That's the run.
Yep.
Well, this Pacific weekend, I come home and I spent it with Pam and Jesse. Jesse was just a little girl then. And I didn't get any sleep. So by 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday, I'm tired. And I'm getting ready to load 80,000 pounds of Ford Taurus carpet and then drive 14 hours all night long to Atlanta. And I was tired. And I stopped at the truck stop and went in and ate, and I come out. I got in the truck and I said, Lord, you got to send me somebody on the CB radio tonight that'll talk my arm off. Because as you're driving and you're reaching for the mic, you're moving, you keep awake, you know. And if you get a ratchet jaw on the other end, you can talk for 1,000 miles and 1,000 miles will go fast.
Yeah.
So I pulled onto the entrance ramp and there's a hitchhiker. And I said, well, I don't care. There's somebody, he'll talk. I don't know how far he's going, but he'll keep me awake for a while, you know.
Yep.
That dude opened the door, and as the old saying goes, he stunk to high heaven. His body odor was horrible. He had a bag that's probably from here to the window, long, probably about 4.5 feet. You know how you got the little box underneath the sleeper? He could barely cram that thing inside there. He got up in there. He had a story longer than the road from Chicago to Atlanta. He was walking from Wisconsin. He's got a sister up there and a sister in Chattanooga. And if you could just get me down the road a ways, I said, man, I'm going right through Chattanooga. I'll take you all the way. That dude didn't stop talking all night long. He didn't stop talking. And he stunk so bad, I had to have the window down. So now you got cold air in your face. I stayed awake all night long. We get to Chattanooga, and I said, man, I really appreciate you helping me. When he got in the truck, I said, listen, dude, I don't know anything about you, but I got an angel. His name's Bubba. He's a big one. If you mess with me, he's going to hurt you.
How are you this morning?
He just laughed at me. He said, well, you don't even have to get off the road. He said, there's a specific viaduct down here. If you just pull off, he said, my sister lives one block from the expressway. You don't even have to get off the road. I'll just crawl over the fence. One block, I'm at her house. You've saved me so many miles. Thank you so much. So we get up there to the bridge. I pull over, you know, hit such a break. He gets out. He's fighting to get that suitcase out of the you know, that little, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
I look in the right mirror, watching him. And like a good truck driver, I look in the left mirror, watching the traffic. I look in the right mirror. I look back in the left mirror. He's still fighting, you know. I look back in the right mirror. He's gone. I look a little closer. He's out of my, and I drove away. And 2 years later, I was watching Touched by an Angel. And I don't even know what the show was. You remember? My beautiful wife sitting next to me.
Hello.
And when that angel revealed himself that he was an angel, you know, that's how the program was. It hit me. That guy was an angel. Because there's no way from looking in the left mirror to the right mirror that he could get out of my vision with that big old suitcase. There's no way. He disappeared. A real live angel. You got an angel story too?
Oh, probably quite a few.
Quite a few of them.
But, I had one that might have not been as detailed, but there have been a few incidences where when I was little, I had a lot of surgeries on the right side of my face because my jaw was where my right ear should have been and some things like that. So over the course of time, within like a 2-year period, I would be here for 6 weeks and then in Chattanooga, Tennessee for 6 weeks. And I had 17 surgeries down there. And can think of a couple different times where my mom said, like, what did you see? And I remember saying I felt like there were angels in the operating room working on me.
Come on, man.
Because it was some rough stuff. One of those surgeries that was supposed to be like 3-4 hours was 18-19 hours.
Wow.
And my heart stopped during the surgery.
Wow.
But I think there was an angel in there that was helping to keep me alive.
Wow.
Because I think without that angel, I know I would have died right there in Chattanooga's Erlanger Hospital.
Wow.
Now, don't get me wrong. It's one of my favorite cities in America by far. But I'm so glad that I did not die there that day because God had a plan and somehow an angel was sent through God to, you know, to do something for me because, you know, it's just a miracle that I didn't die there.
Let's go back to your confession statement.
Yeah.
Because your mother has had a confession her whole life, or your whole life, about
yeah.
you. And angels hearken to the voice of God's word.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
And your statement about the operation is you'll live and not die.
Amen.
I would said I would live and not die.
I'm going to have to get a mic for everybody.
Because.
Now, hold on just a second, because we got a listener with us tonight. Hang on. I want to welcome you. I can see we got someone listening with us tonight. If you'd like to say hi to Rivers, click the one button that'll put you up in my queue. Let me know that you either want to talk or say something, or have us pray for you. If that's the case, click the one button and it'll let me know, and then we'll come in the screen room and talk to you for a little bit, and then we'll bring you live. Remember, that number is 215-383-3810. And that's the power of what we're doing. No matter where you are, no matter who, for what reason you have hooked up tonight, we want to make sure we minister to you from this show in a way that we can minister to you. And besides that, we're glad that you're here with us. Now, our very first show, you can hear them kids screaming now.
Yeah.
Welcome to McDonald's.
He's screaming because he wants to be on the air with me. Well, someday, Bubba, but you can, kiddo, but you're going to have to behave if you're going to be on my show. Otherwise, you're off the air, kiddo. Because there's only so many baby cries allowed on the airwaves. The new FCC rule.
You like radio, don't you?
Yep. Okay, that's not a new FCC rule, but I'm kidding. But I was teasing. I just did it so that the kids will behave.
It makes you wonder how many times Pastor wants to say that from the pulpit. All right, no more. All right, we like baby Christian, but quit acting like a baby.
There you get, each one of these babies to five cries. That means five. And if you got the, that's two.
All right. Let's get back to the angels.
Okay, back to the angel. And yes, it is related to confession because my pastor actually said that from my birth that I would live and not die.
Yeah.
Four different times, the spirit of death tried to take my life. Four times that spirit, Satan, lost. Four times that my life was almost taken from me and Satan lost because of the confession of Mark T. Barclay. And because of people like my mother Julie, who stood behind me and said, "He will live and not die. He will live and not die." I should have been dead when I was months old. And then over the course of time, over the next 4, 5, 6 years of my life, they kept pushing back. Like, at one point they said, "He won't live past 12. And then it went on from there, and now I'm still alive and great and healthy. It's all by the grace of God because I should be, you know, I should really be in my grave, maybe trampled on sometimes by now, you know, because of the."
How old are you?
28. So that means that probably should have been dead like 27 years ago, which means I would have been trampled on possibly on my gravestone.
No, the devil is a liar.
Yep, he's a liar.
Okay, so let's read a verse about this.
Okay.
Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will be the heirs of salvation?" And that's you?
Exactly. An heir. Because, for all we know, that might be a radio verse. But there was no radio yet at that time.
The heir of salvation?
Even though now it does apply because I am using airwaves. Internet airwaves, but still, you know, we're still on the air, and I did give a call for salvation, and hopefully some people responded to it. And by the way, you can still do it. And we are in the last days, though. And but for the record, yep, God's way is the best way. You'll never do in all the stuff that I talked about with the miracles and what God has brought me through,
right,
and all this other stuff. It's not going to work for you if you don't know Jesus, which is another good plug as to why you need to give your life to God if you haven't. It's crucially important.
Will God do for anybody who's fighting this horrible situation in their life what he's done for you?
No. You gotta have a relationship with him. You gotta have people praying for you. If you don't have people praying for you, and you don't have a relationship with God, and you're going through all that stuff, and then you die, chances are you're going to hell forever and ever and ever and ever to suffer greater torment than what you suffered on earth.
And it's simple not to be in that position. Nobody has to go to hell.
Right. That's right.
I love how our pastor says it over and over. This is a simple thing.
Yeah.
Don't go to hell.
Take 2 seconds.
There's no reason for that.
That's right.
But if you don't take the right steps, you're going.
That train here, and it's going to come, and it's only going to get faster and faster and faster. It's not going to slow down and have a little stop. Next stop, the church. And everybody gets off and gives their life to Christ. Or if only. But it doesn't work that way. All that hell train does is go faster and faster and faster.
Please make sure you deal with all your electronic devices while we're trying to have a show here.
As we are on air. And we don't want everybody to know the other
in
the studio and other personnel to know what's going on.
All right. So now we've been broadcasting for almost an hour now.
Okay.
That hour went fast, didn't it?
It went too fast.
I think it went real fast. But now let's take a break. Take a drink of your Coke.
There's none left. Where's the rest of those fries anyway?
Let me do a little business here.
Alrighty.
And then while Rivers eats some more of his fries, I'll do a little business. See if I can get this mic. Give me some good sound here. What's the what book of the Bible you got?
We got the book of Acts.
Acts? Well, I'm going to have you read some too, okay?
When I was little, I used to think Acts was actually a letter, and I found out it wasn't. When I was learning my letters when I was like 4.
All right, so here's the business. Rivers has been believing to get on radio. Matter of fact, he went to school. What kind of degree did you get? Associate's degree?
Associate in Arts.
Associate in Arts. And he studied being on the radio and broadcasting and all that. And so I've done these blog talk radio shows before. And so they came to me and said, hey, could you give us a hand? And I said, I would love to. I really want to be a part of this. And I believe in River's story. I've been praying for Rivers for a long, long time. Well, what's it been? 25 years, hasn't it?
Yep.
95.
22 years.
Your math is that good?
22, yep, it'll be 22 years.
That's awesome. Think about it, I'm going to have to be real accurate, aren't I? But I'm saying all that to say this. We're going to be producing a show from this show that we can put on another radio station.
And I've downloaded some new audio equipment and some apps that we'll be using to put us on the radio in a couple different places. If you have a local radio station that you think this show would be good on, take it to them. Go to the manager and say, you got to hear these guys. These guys are a blast. It'll do good for your radio viewing audience. And help us get out there. It doesn't matter how far away it is. Rivers and I are going to be able to reach them no matter where they are, because I'm the preacher and he's the miracle man, and that's how it's going to always be. And we're going to show you how to have a miracle. We're going to show you how to get a miracle. And then every time we're on here, we're going to give you the good word of God and some good current affairs and things that's going on around the nation and the world. And who knows, we'll interview some of our great friends and heroes, you know, and they'll be on here. And this should just be a show you can just continually walk with, talk with, and be a part of. And it'll be a great show. Now, let's go back to this again. When you go to this Blog Talk Radio channel, you can click like and follow. When you click follow, anytime that we schedule a show, it'll send you an email or a text, whatever you set up, and it'll let you know that a new show's online and what time it's going to happen. It'll give you a reminder. That way you can always stay connected to what we're doing. You know, this is going to be a radio program of faith, but it's also going to be a radio program of fun. Would you agree with that?
Yep.
Because if we can't have fun in life, what are we going to do?
Well, you got to have both ups.
Yeah, you got to have it all. So if you got a prayer request you want us to pray for, you can dial that number, 215-383-3810. And that'll get you connected right in here. And you'll be able to be a part of the show. Listen, most of all. And then you'll be able to ask a question or have us pray for you or any of that different kind of stuff like that. And it'll be a lot of fun. This is radio channel is called, what is my radio channel called? Living Large.
Living Large. You gotta be able to say fluently the name of your channel. Living Large channel.
Living Large Upfront Entertainment.
Upfront, yep.
All right. Now, let's get over here, because we're going to read some word in a little bit, but I wanted Rivers to tell you all about the eclipse that was going on in the Tennessee area, and I don't know. You tell the story.
All right.
Go ahead. You touch that mic so you can be close to it.
The solar eclipse is actually going to be crossing a path of over 3,000 miles. It's going to be on August the 21st, Monday, August 21st, so in about 3 weeks from tomorrow. And what's going to happen is the following. Depending on where you are, the 3,000-mile path between some town in North Carolina, I forget the name of it, between there and like Myrtle Beach or something like that in South Carolina near the ocean. Within those 3,000 miles, the sun is going to be blocked out totally by the moon for a little over 2 minutes. And for those 2 minutes, it's going to feel great. I mean, honestly, it would be so cool. I mean, if I were to get my healing by before then and I were to see it, I want to be on that train going probably to somewhere where you'd see that eclipse. Nashville is, though, the biggest city within that eclipse area. And
Nashville.
Yes, Nashville is the biggest city in that area. Nashville is Nashville, Tennessee. And it is. And you only see this style of eclipse happen with this magnitude
every 100 years or so. The last one was in 1918. It's 2017 now. So the next one probably wouldn't be until like 2116 or so. So about every 99 years is when you get an eclipse like this. It is totally once in a lifetime. If you have anybody who has an opportunity to go see it, go.
And
now,
where's the best place to see it? Nashville?
Of the big cities, Nashville. The big cities, but there's going to be, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of rural places. There's actually some rural areas north of Chattanooga that'll have a total eclipse. Now, up here in Michigan, we'll have about an 80% eclipse. Depending on where you are, will determine how much sun blockage you'll see. So, hopefully, the best thing we can all do is hope and pray for weather that's clear.
Yeah, that's
that way we can enjoy the eclipse. Because anybody who spends all this money on a hotel room, because obviously the rates are going to be going up, and hotel rooms in Nashville, if you're in Nashville and you don't have a hotel room or for that date, Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
Because
it's probably already booked up, isn't it?
Pretty much, yep. And if it's not, you're going to be paying probably a pretty penny.
Yeah.
And it is, but that eclipse is real. It's really going to be a beautiful thing.
So,
I hope to actually feel, even if I can't see, if I'm outside like at the city pool or something, I hope to feel some level of darkness and know at that certain time and know that it's not a cloud and that it's actually the eclipse. Yeah, like
should we go to Nashville and do a show live down?
No, but I will probably be no, but I'm sure I'll be outside somewhere, whether it be no, you're not. Chill out. Chill out. I'm talking to him or about something else. Okay. Here it is. Now, we're talking about this though, that eclipse though. Yeah, like even in here, I wonder if you'll see, maybe for a minute you will, but you won't know until you experience it. But I'm believing that the weather's going to be great, you know, for those who, yeah, that's going to be, and by great, I mean, it won't be cloudy.
I remember when Halley's Comet came through.
Okay.
And that was like, one of the best places to be able to see it was going to be in Cincinnati or something.
Oh, really?
And that wasn't going to be able to come through again. You know, it was like a 100-year cycle. Remember that? We were in, like, Kentucky or something. And, you know, that's a once-in-a-lifetime. So I just said, well, Lord, I wonder if the Halley's Comet will go through during the 7 years tribulation. Because I'm not going to be around 100 years after that. Well, maybe I would. Maybe I better get my confession right. What do you think?
Okay.
How old are you?
28.
Well, you could be alive in 100 years.
We'll see what happens.
If you ain't alive here, you better be alive in heaven.
Okay, then we will be.
All right, you got it. We might have to look down from above.
Yep.
So, let's see here. What's next on our list?
Oh, my.
I think what I want you to do now is read some Bible.
All righty. The Holy Word of God.
God, I am. Hold on, let me take this mic for a second.
In the back of Dr. Barclay's Bible is a pattern to read the Bible through in a year. And so I want to get that to you so that every time we come here, you can read a couple days worth of scripture for everybody, and you can put it right on there and we can have it available where people can join Rivers and reading the Bible through in a year. How cool is that?
Cool.
I think that's really cool. So what chapter are you in?
I'm going to read from Acts 7, and I'm going to read about Stephen's speech.
Read the whole chapter.
Then the high priest asked him, okay, here's the mic. Okay, now we're on. Then the high priest asked him, are these charges true? To this he replied, brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran. Leave your country and your people. God said to you, go to the land I will show you. So he left the land of the Chaldeans and he settled in Haran. After the death of his father, God sent him to this land where you are now living. He gave him no inheritance here, not even a foot of ground. But God promised him that he and his descendants after him would possess the land, even though at the time Abraham had no children. God spoke to him in this way, your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years, but I will punish the nation they serve as slaves. God said to hand afterwards they will come out of that country and will worship me in this place. Then he gave Abraham the covenant of circumcision, and Abraham became the father of Isaac and circumcised him 8 days after his birth. Isaac became the father of Jacob. Jacob became the father of 12 patriarchs because the patriarchs were jealous of Joseph. They sold him as a slave into Egypt, but God was with him, and he rescued him from all his troubles, and he gave Joseph wisdom and enabled him to gain the goodwill of Pharaoh, who was king of Egypt. So he made him ruler over Egypt and all his palace. Then a famine struck all Egypt and Canaan, bringing great suffering, and our fathers could not find food. When Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent our fathers on their first visit. On their second visit, Joseph told his brothers who he was, and Pharaoh learned about Joseph's family. After this, Joseph sent for his father Jacob and his whole family, 75 in all. Then Jacob went down to Egypt, where he and our fathers died. Their bodies were brought back to Shechem and placed in the tomb that Abraham had brought from the sons of Hamor,
at Shechem for a certain sum of money. As the time grew near for God to fulfill his promise, Abraham, the number of our father in Egypt, greatly increased. Then another king who knew nothing about Joseph became ruler of Egypt. He dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefathers, forcing them to throw out their newborn babies so that they would die. Moses was born, and he was no ordinary child. For 3 months, he was cared for in his father's house. And when he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his fellow Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian. So he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. The next day, Moses came upon two Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them by saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other?" But the man who was mistreating the other pushed Moses aside and said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" When Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner and had two sons. After 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses in the flames of the burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. When he saw this, he was amazed at the sight. As he went on to look more closely, he heard the Lord's voice, "I am the God of your fathers. I'm the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Moses trembled with fear and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, "Take off your sandals. The place where you are standing is holy ground. I have indeed seen the opposition of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to see them free. Now come, I will send you back to Egypt." This is the same Moses whom they had, the same Moses who they have rejected with the words, "Who made you ruler and judge?" He was sent to The Israelites. So God will send a prophet, like men from your own people, in the assembly in the desert, to them on Mount Sinai, and of our fathers, and he received living words to pass on to us. But our fathers refused to obey him. Instead, they rejected him, and in their hearts turned back to Egypt. They told Aaron, "Make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who led us out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." That was the time they made an idol in the form of a calf. They brought sacrifices to it and held a celebration in honor of what their hands had made. But God turned away from and gave them over to the worship of the heavenly bodies. This agrees with what is written in the book of the prophets. Did you bring me sacrifices and offerings 40 years in the desert? One house, Israel, you have lifted up the shrine, Moloch, and the star of your God, Rephan, the idols you made to worship. Therefore, I will send you into exile beyond Babylon. Our forefathers had the tabernacle of the testimony of there in the desert. It had been made as God directed Moses, according to the pattern he had seen. Having received the tabernacle, our fathers under Joshua brought it with them when they took the land from the nations God drove out before them. It remained in the land until the time of David, who enjoyed God's favor and asked that he might provide a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built the house for him. However, the Most High does not live in houses made by men. As the prophet says, to heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool that I lay my foot on when I'm tired. No, it doesn't say that. It just says my footstool. So I know, but sometimes we feel like that. The earth is my footstool. And then it says, what kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things? You stiff-necked people of uncircumcised hearts and ears, with them actually, you are just like your fathers, and you always resist the Holy Spirit. Just there, by prophet, your fathers do not persecute. They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and have murdered him. And you who have received the law that was put into effect through angels, but have not obeyed it. That says the stoning of Stephen. When they heard this, they were furious and were gnashing their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open, and I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears, and yelled at the top of their voices, and they all rushed. They all rushed at him, and they dragged him out of the city, and they began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and he cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep.
Awesome. Absolutely awesome,
I even dramatized it to show how he was feeling.
Come on, that's awesome. Why did you want Acts chapter 7?
I just felt good about that, and I wanted to use that as a way to show your listeners, those of you who know Jesus, you got to be able to obey him and do what he says. You can't be stiff-necked, and it's also good for people to know, the history, and it talks about the history of the old and about Jacob and that, and about some of the things that Moses had to go through. And you got to know history and what you came from and stuff. And
and Pastor used that this morning in his message when he said the word didn't profit them because they didn't mix the word with faith. And he was speaking of the people and the children of Israel.
They didn't have no faith. They didn't have any faith.
You can go do a bunch of works, sacrifice animals and all the rest of that, but God looks at it and says, I don't want sacrifice. I mean, what did David say in the Psalms? Sacrifice? More blood? That's not what I want. What does God want? He wants a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart.
Yep, he needs it to be. Just like faith without works is dead, works without faith are dead.
Yeah. Book of James. There you go.
You've got to have both. You got to have both. Or some life people would say, you got to have both. B-O-A-F. Both. Both is still both, regardless of which way you spell it.
Well, let me stop and do some business.
Alrighty.
Scratch real big. Let me do some.
Yeah.
We got some business.
Because you always got to pay the bills, right?
Yep.
All right. Now that I got the mic, Dr. Pepper is better than Coke. So we're glad that you're with us. As you can see, this is a program that's going to be filled with faith, but it's also going to be filled with fun. And in every program, you're going to have the opportunity to learn about God, how to draw closer to Him. And most of all, if you need prayer, you call right now because we will pray with you. Now, I do not have my email address or River's email address in the introduction, which is the words that talk about this show on Blog Talk Radio. But I'll put both of our email addresses there so that people can send us an email and we can lead them to God and help them find a good church. What do you think of that?
Yep.
All right. Yep.
I will use this opportunity to give out my email address. My email address is RiverShukla, RiverShukla @gmail.com. And you can email me, send me a thank you, send me whatever you have, a complaint, whatever. Hopefully it'll be more of a thank you than that, but there's always those few. It's always good to have feedback.
If they want to ask a question.
If you have ideas on how we can make the show better. If you have any ideas, please email me. Partner?
If you have a question about God.
Email me. Or email.
Sam, what's your email address?
My email address is HG for Holy Ghost. HGPreacherMan@gmail.com. And we'll put this together and bring you a show every time that really says something. Now, one person when I first started doing Blog Talk Radio said, you know, preacher, why do you call it a show? Are you trying to show off? I said, God wants to show off. God, through Rivers and I, is going to show himself to you on this show. This is his opportunity to be seen through these two people and what we say and the word that we read. That's a good word he just read. If you don't know Rivers yet, he read that from his Braille Bible. That's why we call this man the Miracle Man, because every bit of his life, from the beginning of his life, has been a miracle act of God that's brought this man to the point where he is today. And, you know, someday we'll give you a good enough heads up that you can actually come out here and meet him early. We can shoot it at the mall or somewhere. How'd that be? Shake hands with everybody. And buy me a Dr. Pepper because you don't want to buy him a Coke.
Coca-Cola, pop-pop, fizz-fizz. Oh, what good the living is. Yes, we got to pay the bills.
You got the mic.
Yes, we got to pay the bills, and hopefully we're going to get some sponsors. We'll see. We'll see where this goes, wherever God wants it to go. Okay, so...
Now. Let's do one more thing here before we go.
All right.
Because
before we close up, let's do one more thing. Okay.
We have 33 minutes left.
Okay.
All right.
Now,
I think we're doing pretty good.
Yep.
You feeling comfortable?
I am.
All right, that's cool. When do you want to shoot the next one?
I'm not sure yet. Probably in a couple of days. Pretty soon.
What we'll do. We'll set up a calendar, a schedule.
Yeah.
We hit the same thing on the same day, so we can always say on this day, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So we're not bouncing around to a bunch of different days.
Right.
It's created as a schedule.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
Okay.
Be this Sunday night like this after church.
Yeah.
So because this is pretty much the night when I can always be here, and we can shoot this live, and we can do it right here at McDonald's. I like it.
Okay.
And there's lots of room here. If more people wanted to show up and be live with us, we can. I'm going to work on the audio a little more throughout the week. I'm going to have another mic here because I'm listening right now while we're live. And your voice is loud tonight and mine's soft. The other night I was overpowering for some reason. But tonight you got the mic, man.
And we're going to get that fixed because the ministry must go forth clearly.
Aren't you glad we don't have to pay $40,000 for our mic?
Yeah. Only pastor who has to pay $40,000 to get his airplane fixed.
Holy
yeah.
He said that, and I'm like, my Lord.
And there's a certain thing that was $70,000. That's almost the invasion, just to get a certain part on your airplane fixed.
Wow. That's awesome, though. That's got a big pile of provision, and it's more than enough.
It's always more than enough.
It's always more than enough. Now, let's talk about one more thing. I got to find my notes here.
Okay. We got notes to find.
Hold on here. You know what happens on radio when nobody's talking?
Going forward, there shall be no dead air.
And we don't have anything dead around here, so we're not going to have dead air.
There shall be no dead air.
Okay, so our current affair we talked about was the no tax weekend, but you haven't said a thing about the Tigers.
All righty.
So give us an update about the Detroit Tigers and where we're at.
So Tigers are... they're in fourth place in the AL Central right now, and they've won two games straight, but the trade deadline is tomorrow, and I look for some people to possibly get traded. We already lost J.D. Martinez in a trade deal. It looks like Justin Wilson could be next. Verlander's could possibly be on the trading block. It depends on what happens tonight or tomorrow. Because by 4 o'clock, that trade deadline cometh. And there's been rumors going forth on the radio stations that there would be some trades going around. We already had one. And I think more than likely we're going to have at the very least one. I think two or possibly three guys get traded because the Tigers are quite a bit over the salary cap. When you're getting over the salary cap, what happens is there's a luxury tax and the Tigers are having to pay a high luxury tax right now to major leagues. It's not the tax you pay to the government, but you're paying it to the league. And Mr. Avila needs to be looking, and he needs to be saying, what's the best options for us going forward? Who do we want to trade? And who do we want to keep going forward?
How many of these
as we try to
lose and still win?
Verlander actually did very good today. He did really good today. He made, like, I don't know exactly how many innings. It was either 6 or 7 because I had to go to music practice. But yeah, he made a solid 6 or 7 innings, and it was a shutout still at that point, and the Tigers powered it on, I understand, after I went into practice at 3 o'clock, and they scored, like, because it was, like, 1-0 at that point, and then they scored 12 runs.
Wow.
Within a certain amount of innings, and By the way, commercial for McDonald's. This segment has been brought to you by McDonald's, where at, when the Tigers score 6 runs, you get free nuggets. Download the McDonald's app today.
Six runs in the sixth inning? How's it working?
When you when the Tigers score 6 runs in a game, you win 6 nuggets if you have the McDonald's app on your phone. Offer not valid in all states or situations. See store for details. Because obviously it won't work in like Tennessee or, you know. That's why I had to say not available in all states, you know. Yes, there will be at time to time some plugs, commercial plugs by me. Because I must believe God that there will be sponsors.
Amen.
And no plugs, no sponsorships.
We won't come here and eat your nuggets anymore, will we?
No plugs, no sponsorships. So, now back to the actual Tigers thing. Yeah, Mr. Abila needs to look and say, do I want to keep my son Alex? Do I want to keep the big guy, Miguel Cabrera? Do I want to keep my ace, Justin Verlander? Or do I want to trade Verlander or Cabrera, who are making 25 plus million a year, and instead get a guy who is a bit younger and won't cost us as much money, and he can be with us for longer before he would retire out.
How long has Verlander been with us?
He's been with us since 07. He's like 33 years old, I believe, or so. And depending on how healthy he can be with his arm, he could be here 5 more years or so. But his contract is up next year, so I think there's a good chance that he could end up somewhere after next year, because that luxury tax, let's face it, the Tigers are going to go into a rebuilding period. Hopefully it's shorter rather than longer, so the Tigers can soon get back to winning the American League Central Division like they had done for 4 years in a row. 11-14, 4 years in a row, they won the ALC, American League Central.
Who's going to win this year?
Kansas. I would have said Cleveland if you would have asked me a few weeks ago, but now Kansas City is making things interesting. They won a bunch in a row, including a sweep this week of the Tigers, where they swept Detroit in 3 games. Unfortunately, it was for our sake. There was a couple decently pitched games by our Tigers, but then Wednesday night was horrible, where we lost like 16-2. But yeah, it just goes to show you, you know, the Tigers have been inconsistent. They've got to find a way to get more consistent. If they don't, then look for possibly Osmus to get the boot. I don't know if what Mr. Avila wants to do. I betcha our honorable Dave Dombrowski, I betcha he would probably fire Osmus after this year. But, as we all know, Dave Dombrowski, he's over in Boston, and a couple of great pitchers that we've had at times are now over with the Red Sox, including Rick Porcello and David Price, who was with us for second half of one season and then the first half of the next season. And he did good while he was here, and he's doing good in Boston also. And, you know, baseball, this is part of how baseball really is a business. Because in the past years ago, I remember listening to ESPN, now another sports broadcaster, Bill Simonson, out of Grand Rapids. He likes to call ESPN the four-letter network. I don't know why he calls it that, but he does. And I'm not going to call it that. I'm going to call it ESPN. But I was listening to it on the radio, and these guys were trying to figure out, you know, by talking, you know, is baseball really a business? Is professional sports a business? It is a business. Players are bought and sold by teams. NFL does this. Basketball does this. Yep. Hockey does it. Teams are bought and sold. I'm like, if I'm a general manager of baseball, let's say I'm the GM right now of the Astros. I'm looking at Verlander. I watched Verlander pitch today. No, this isn't Rivers for a second here. I'm the GM of Houston. I see the way Verlander is pitching today, and I'm looking and going, wow. You know, he is throwing a lot of foul balls and stuff, so we're kind of getting that, maybe that pitch count down again a bit. But, man, he's finding ways, even though he's given up some hits, he's finding ways to get out of it. He got out of a bases loaded jam.
Wow.
in that second inning, I believe it was that second inning, because I was listening to it in the car coming back from Mount Pleasant. And yeah, so I'm listening to the ball game, and he's getting out. And so I'm, you know, in the GM manager's office of the Astros, and I'm saying, hey, this could be a really good starter for us. And I'm looking and I see, you know, yeah, he's won a Cy Young once and was close last year. And I'm saying, man, how much does he want, you know, and all that. And we're looking to see if it's a good idea for us.
So
it's a business decision.
So should we hire out for $25 million a year?
That's basically the business decision that every GM has to make when they're in a case like this.
You and me.
No.
Okay.
We're not there yet.
Okay.
But I will say this. That is exactly the question that the preacher brought up, was exactly this. And that team general managers are looking and are talking, and they'll be saying, should we give this guy that $25 million a year that the Tigers are asking for him? Like that, we'd have to pay it now. But you know, it just goes to show, you know, it's business decisions, and teams have to make these decisions all the time,
so,
especially right now, you know, with the trade deadline or in the off season, you know, at the winter meetings, they have to decide what the best option is.
So where's the playoff games for, I guess that's whoever is the winning team. That's where the games go. That's how it works.
Yeah.
Baseball in a couple of years.
Yeah. If you're a winning team,